profit, and profit's not our driving force, if you like, but the accountant's happy. We seem to be bobbing along. It's very difficult not to make a profit.
It's difficult not to make a profit? How come?
I think because people want this sort of service so much. People don't want to be rushed, and they certainly don't want carers that run from one client to another and just do everything fast, which is what we don't do. I find that once we take on a client, they just don't want to let us go because we're just doing things humanely, you know, properly, really.
Penny Roberts, Jane Jutson, thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
And now the serial, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte. With a turbulent mixture of emotions, Gilbert Markham now knows the real reasons for Helen Graham seeking seclusion at Wildfell Hall and her wavering resistance to his attentions.
It was dawn when I finished reading Helen's journal. The half-frozen dew lay thick on the grass and cows were lowing in the distance. I did not think of them. A confusion of countless thoughts and emotions crowded upon me while I gazed without seeing on the lovely face of nature. My adored Helen was all I wished to think her. Her character shone as bright as a sun I could not bear to look on. Of my own conduct, I could not have been more ashamed.
Gilbert! Why have you not come down?
I've been busy, Rose.
Now where are you going? Oh, not to Wildfell.
You were to tell her the truth. I read from start to finish. Can you forgive me?
Can you forgive me? In the eyes of the world, I have done wrong.
No.
But I have reaped the bitter fruits of my error, and I shall reap them to the end.
You should have told me this. You should have told me before.
What difference would it have made? Gilbert, you must leave. Not this moment, but soon. We must never see each other again.
But I love you more than ever.
And that is exactly the reason we must part. I told myself we could see each other one last time to ask forgiveness. But here, our friendship ends. I'm still married. You must not visit anymore.
Helen, that man is not your husband. He's forfeited all claim to you.
Oh, don't say these things. Don't torture me. I wish it wasn't like this, but it is.
Helen.
Please, don't.
May we not meet as friends?
Yeah. You know the answer to that as well as I. Every time we see each other, the thought that this must soon end will make the meeting only more painful. Today, I just about have the power to ask you to go. Soon, I won't even have that. We shall meet in heaven.
Not as we are now.
There is perfect love in heaven.
And what of earthly love? Does that mean nothing?
Gilbert, you're still young. You should marry. I know it seems impossible, and though I can hardly wish you to forget me, it is right that you do.
You're young too, Helen. I'll wait.
I may hate him, but I cannot wish my husband dead. And if I'm young in years, I am old in sorrow. Trust me, Gilbert, in this, I know better than you.
Helen. Helen.
Please go.
Can we at least write?
You will hear of me through my brother.
I have a confused remembrance as I rushed away of Arthur running up the garden to meet me.
Mr. Markham!
And my running down the steep fields, clearing the stone fences and hedges as they came in my way till I got completely out of sight of the old hall. I spent long hours in bitter tears with a west wind rushing through the overshadowing trees. My heart was way up the hill in that dark room where she sat desolate and alone. She, whom I knew I loved, and who I was never to see again.
What are you doing here? Have you come to finish me off?
I've come to beg your pardon, Lawrence. I misunderstood your relationship with Helen. Oh. I was wrong.
How did you find out?
She told me everything. She knew she could trust me. But you needn't disturb yourself on that count. I've seen the last of her.
You've done right. She has suffered enough already. And as for the misunderstanding between us, I'm sorry I was not more candid. You have not been very friendly of late.
And nobody can blame me more than I blame myself.
Only keep your resolution of staying away from her. And everything else between us is forgotten.
For the next 2 months, I kept my promise. Helen did not come to church or into the village, and I did not go near her house. I only knew she was still there by her brother's brief answers to my many and varied questions. How is she?
Far from happy and far from strong.
Does she mention me?
She asked if I've seen you.
What else?
Nothing else. She knows she must forget you, and I wish you would do the same. You are neither of you worthy of a broken heart. There is so much gossip about her in the village. She fears she cannot stay.
A week later, Eliza Millwood came to call.
What a pleasure to find you at home, Gilbert. I so seldom see you.
Well, I've had a lot to do of late.
Somebody said you'd been strangely neglectful of your business these last few months.
Somebody said wrong. These last few months I've been especially diligent.
There's nothing like active employment to console the afflicted. You look far from well. I could almost think you had some secret sorrow. There was a time I could have asked, Gilbert, and a time you would have told. What troubles you?
And the only thing troubling me is you standing in the door preventing me from going outside.
Rose!
Eliza!
I'm off to the farm.
Now, here's a piece of news. It's about that sad Mrs. Graham, but maybe I shouldn't say. I would be sorry to injure anyone's feelings.
Speak out, Miss Eliza. You needn't fear to say anything in front of me. You don't usually show such consideration.
Well, perhaps you already know that her husband is not really dead and she has run away from him.
Run away? She's not a widow?
Nothing like it.
I knew all this.
Then perhaps you also know that she's gone back and that a perfect reconciliation has taken place.
She's returned to her husband?
She left Wildfell a few days ago.
Oh, Gilbert, where are you going?
Only think what a fool the man must be.
Lawrence! Lawrence! I've been to Wildfell. It was locked up. Is it true? Has she gone?
Come in. She went of her own accord. Mr. Huntington is dying. He wants to see his son.
Who betrayed her?
He wrote to me again.
And you told him where she was?
I detest the man as much as you. All I did was to inform her of his illness. I never intended her to go back. The first I knew of it was this letter.
Show me.
Mr. Huntingdon is very ill, but not dying. I found the house in sad confusion. Every decent servant has left, including Miss Myers. On the night of my arrival, he was lying in a kind of delirium.
Alice? Is that you?
It's Helen, Arthur. It's your wife.
My wife? Devil take her.
I went to him again the following morning. He was little better.
For God's sake, not you again. With your pious eyes, I thought you'd gone.
Your conduct forced me to go. But there is no one else to care for you, and I shall not upbraid you now. You need not fear to trust me. Drink some water.
Where's my son?
Safe.
Is he here?
Wherever he is, you will not see him until you have promised to leave him under my protection. And to let me take him away if I should judge it necessary.
I swear, as God is in heaven, let me see him.
I cannot trust your oaths. I believed you once, and you always failed me. I must have a written agreement. We shall do it later when you are rested.
I want to see my son!
He was in such a state of feverish excitement, I thought it better to agree. But I was determined this time that my son's interest should not be forgotten. I read out the promise I wished him to make, and asked him to sign.
I can't hold the pen.
Then we must wait until you can.
But I'm too ill for this.
Then you are too ill to see Arthur. After several more attempts to evade it, at last he signed.
Now bring him here.
Arthur?
Go on, love.
Do you know me?
Yes.
Who am I?
Papa.
Are you glad to see me?
Mama.
Are you glad to see Papa?
You can answer, Arthur.
Yes.
You're not!
Mama!
You bitch! This is all you're doing.
That's all. You must leave now, Arthur.
You've made him forget me.
I did indeed wish him to forget the lessons you taught him. I seldom mention your name, but you have only yourself to blame for that.
Oh, this wretched thirst is burning my heart.
There.
Daddy, this is delightful, isn't it? You never hoped for such a glorious opportunity.
Do you want me to stay? Or will you feel better if I go?
Oh, yes. You're wondrous, gentle and obliging. But you've driven me mad.
I'll leave you then.
The doctor ordered him to be bled, and after that he was more tranquil. He accepted my services quietly, without any bitter remarks. But today, his ill nature has revived.
There. Is that better?
Oh, this is sweet revenge for you. And you can enjoy it with such a quiet conscience, too, because it's all in the way of duty.
It is well for me that I am doing my duty, since that is the only comfort I have. And the satisfaction of my conscience seems the only reward I'm going to have.
Did you want any other reward?
I did hope to benefit you. To better your mind and alleviate your sufferings. But it appears I'm to do neither.
I ought to be melted into tears of penitence and admiration at the sight of so much generosity and superhuman goodness. But you see, I can't manage it. I have had a dreadful time. My old friends have all left me. Sometimes I thought I was dying.
There's always a chance of death.
Do you think that's happening to me?
Huh? I don't know. Are you prepared?
It's just the only thing I can't bear to think of.
But it must come sometime. And if it is years away, it will happen as certainly as if it happened today. So if there is anything you want to repent...
Oh, hang it! Don't torment me with your preachments now. I can't stand it. If you think I am in danger, save me.
From these details, you may form your own idea of the state of my patient and of my future prospects. I find myself in a strange position. I am exerting my utmost endeavours to promote the recovery of my husband. And if I succeed, what shall I do then?
I folded the letter carefully and returned it to Lawrence.
Well, what do you think?
That he doesn't deserve her.
But they are married. They have a child. She left him and no one would accept her. You heard what people said. Even you believed them. I warned you months ago and you wouldn't listen. Go home, Gilbert. Forget my sister.
And the final episode is tomorrow, when we'll be discussing scented candles, one of the most popular Christmas gifts for women. But the first candles were reed wicks dipped in stinking animal fat. We explore the history and the allure of candlelight. And Crinan tweets, and I thought I'd invented tonic and bitters, a truly adult-tasting drink. Bye-bye.
Woman's Hour was presented by Jenny Murray and produced by Sarah Johnson. Is the generosity of tourists actually intensifying the misery of Bali's most vulnerable children? Find out in Crossing Continents in a couple of minutes. Tomorrow morning, Midge Ure goes backstage into the bizarre world of musicians on tour. Having spent 30 years on the road, he explores how touring has changed since his heyday in the 80s. He meets the army of crew behind the scenes and finds out about those dressing room demands.
All of the nonsense that people demand, it's an ego thing. It's like a way of reassuring yourself that you are as important as you think you are. Unfortunately, you're the only person who thinks that. The reality is, people give you what you want because the bottom line is you end up paying for it. You can demand whatever you like. I want an elephant in my dressing room. And if you're a big enough star, you'll probably get that. But at the end of the tour, you'll get the bill.
That's Backstage Tales tomorrow morning at 11 on Radio 4.